Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, whenever it is that you're listening to us. I'm Dan Hurst. There's Mark Clifton over there.
Dan Hurst was a AM disc jockey.
Yeah.
On the number one soft rock radio station in Kansas City for how many years?
Way too long. You know,
so now he gets to the microphone. He goes, "Good morning." For traffic.
Yeah.
How early did you start? By the way, like each day, like what time would your show begin?
The show started at 5:30.
Wow.
And I would be up at 3:30 in the morning, getting ready to go to work. Which was great because you can drive 80 miles an hour out in the morning. Worked out great. Hey, we're talking about something really near and dear to my heart. And I got to tell a sad story, a sob story. And you're going to go, oh, poor you. When I first went into the ministry full time, my first job in the ministry was part time. Was with our friend Mark Clifton. Your dad and my dad and Tom Bray were good friends. Remember Tom Bray?
Tom Bray, yep.
And Tom Bray was at Nolan Road Baptist Church, and he said, well, why don't you just come on over here and become my youth man?
Yep.
And I went, okay, I don't know what I was doing, but I was ready to do that. And that lasted about 6 months, and I got a call from Sycamore Hills Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they said, why don't you come on over? We need a minister of music and youth. And I talked to Tom Bray about it, and he said, oh, you definitely have to go. Mm-hmm. He says, you need to make the move. So that was my first full-time job. And so I went to this youth group. There were about 30-some-odd kids in the youth group. But they allowed me to go to the high school. Back then, you could do that. You couldn't proselytize, as they use the word. But I could go have lunch with them at lunch, during the lunch time. And I would get to know some of these kids, and some of these kids started coming over. Well, this church had a gym. Mm. And so on the weekends, we would open it up. And especially during basketball season or football season, we would have like fifth quarter parties, you know, and the church, the youth group started growing. And it got to the point where we were running over 400 kids in this youth ministry. And I had exactly two couples to volunteer with me. And I went to the pastor and I said to him, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't keep up with it. It's becoming a security. And he says, well, you're the minister of youth. You figure it out. We're talking today, how do you enlist and care for volunteers?
Oh, wow.
You get into a difficult situation. Maybe you can't grow because you don't have volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And you need a volunteer, not because you have too many people, but because you don't have enough. And you need some help in some areas. So let's kind of talk about volunteers.
And
by the way, I want to make sure that we differentiate between volunteers and ministry.
That's right. That's right. And we got an article here we're going to attach to the show notes by Chuck Peters. And he gives us five really good points. So we're going to kind of unpack those. But even before we get to the points, I was with Richard Blackaby not long ago, and Richard was relating a story that a pastor came up to him and said, be careful what you say to a Blackaby, because they'll answer you very honestly, all right? Trust me. And so, in a good way, this pastor came up to Richard and said, I can't get any volunteers. Our church, I've been there for 10 years. I can't get anybody to do anything. You don't understand our church. People just don't serve. They don't serve in the nursery. They don't serve on committees or teams. I'm at my wit's end. It's not, you know, there's nobody serves in my church. I've heard that different places myself.
Uh-huh.
And Richard just said, well, that's your fault. He said, you're the leader.
Yeah.
It's your job
to
get people engaged to serve. And if you can't get people engaged to serve, then there's a problem. Is that you can learn how to do that, but you got to acknowledge you don't know how to do that, and you got to try to learn how to do that. You can't just sit around and say, people won't serve. I've asked them, they won't serve.
That's right.
And that's often what happens.
Mm-hmm.
We ask people, or we ask them the wrong way, and they won't serve. So here's five things that, and I agree. You can disagree with me and Richard all you want, but I agree. If nobody's serving in your church, that's an issue of your, this is tough, of your leadership.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you say, well, we don't have any leaders. Well, then why don't you have any leaders?
Right, right.
Have leaders left? Is there some culture there that doesn't let leaders flourish?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
are leaders not attracted to your...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, guys, you've got to ask these questions.
That's right.
Because there are other churches that have leaders. Other churches... So anyway, so we got... Okay, here's five. Number one, Mark, you deal with this. Stop leading with need and obligation.
Yeah, stop leading with need and obligation. Here's what I would say. You know, folks, a lot of our folks, man, they are sweet people, and they will serve if you ask them to serve out of, we have a need here.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do that, and some will do it joyfully for a while. But here's what you got to realize. Most of our people will not just serve out of need with joy for the long haul. And that's because God has uniquely gifted and wired every individual in our church where they will thrive based on the gifting that they have. So this is where, as leaders, listen, stop leading with need and obligation. Listen, for a while, I get it. Like, we need greeters. We need somebody who's going to check in the kids or whatever. If you want to be a church where people are thriving, then you need to help people identify their gifts, mm-hmm. how God has wired them, and then you need to help create new pathways for them to actually use those gifts, right? I always say this. There's typically, I'm generalizing, but two types of church culture. There's church cultures that are high control, and the posture toward the people is, why should I let you do that? Versus a grace culture church that says, how can I help you do that? What can we do to empower you and encourage you? And so if you want to see people come alive as volunteers, you got to tap into their passion. You got to tap into their gifting, and then you got to unleash them. You know, Frank Tillipaw wrote a book. I don't know if you remember this, back in the 80s. I think you can get it for like 20 cents on Amazon, but called The Church Unleashed. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much from that idea of find people where they're gifted, because people want to volunteer. It's not that they don't want to. It's just, we need to help them connect their passion and their gifting with those volunteer
Or they may not know yet they want to volunteer.
Yeah, that's true.
But
that's true.
If you only come to them with need and obligation, let me tell you who else comes to them with need and obligation. The school,
yep.
where they work,
yep.
Other volunteer organizations. Everybody comes to them with need and obligation. And you're adding to that? No. You don't start with need and obligations, yep. like you said.
Yep.
You really start with, I really think this could really be beneficial to you. Mm-hmm. I think this is something yeah. that you would really enjoy,
yep.
and you would find it to be a real blessing in your life while you get to bless others. I mean, seriously, it's not that we need you. Well, if we don't have you,
yeah.
because you're right, they may take it.
Yeah, they may for a while.
But
yeah.
then they're gonna resent you for doing
yeah.
it, and they're going to look for a way out,
That's
and then
right.
they're going to be really hesitant to ever volunteer
yeah.
for anything again.
That's right.
So leading with need and obligation is not a way to really engage.
That's
and
right.
that's normally the way we do it. And you'll do it on Sunday morning.
Yep.
And we need some more people in the nursery.
Yep. Yep.
No. No. You go to folks and you go, yep. I've been watching you and thinking about you. Would you pray about perhaps helping with our children? Because I think you'd be great.
Well,
you would find real joy in that.
Totally. And right there is the key. And because it all comes back to leadership. You got to know your people
you
well enough to be able to say, I see this stuff in you that right. you may not even see in you.
Right. And obligation, you know, sometimes we say, you know, well, you know, you've got two kids. You need to take your turn in the nursery. You know, it's like
fair's fair.
That's yeah. obligation. You know, we're not yeah. about obligation. Yeah. We're about grace. Yeah. You know, yeah. we're about serving out of the heart. And I mean, that's what you do at you know in the Rotary. It's your turn to serve in the Rotary Club. So you wash dishes at the camp today because
yeah.
it's your obligation. Okay, great. This is the church.
That's right.
So
yeah.
don't lead. Now
yeah.
you don't ever. You do talk about need.
Sure, totally.
And you may even talk about obligation.
Yeah.
This is your, but you don't lead with
That's
that.
That's right, exactly. Right?
Well,
Number,
there's a key to that, too,
yep.
and that is they're not going to volunteer unless they see it as a need.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it can be your need,
yeah,
but if
true.
They don't believe there's a need that they can fill,
right.
because we're motivated by need. We're
yep.
not motivated by wants. We're motivated
yeah.
by need. What
yeah.
I understand to be a need, that's, if I really believe
well,
I can meet that need.
That's number two.
Yeah.
Not only do you stop leading with need and obligation, but number two, are you all writing these down? You don't have to write them down because they're in the show notes. But anyway, number two, communicate with a clear and compelling why.
Yes.
Why. And it's not just we need you in the nursery because we got to have two people in there. That's not a clear why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not just we need you to stand at the door and greet people because we need one more greeter. That's not a clear
That's
why.
Exactly right.
It's not
That's
we
right.
need someone on the finance committee because
yep.
we got to fill that slot. Talk to me, Mark, about
yep.
what it means to communicate a compelling
yes.
why.
Man, that is so good, guys. And this is so key. This is all leadership stuff. Let's just talk greeters for a second. It's not enough, as you said, to say, hey, we need a couple greeters at that door and go and sign up your name. What I want, and I don't know about you guys listening, but I want greeters who are stinking passionate and excited about loving people as they walk through those doors every week. And so what I've got to do as a leader is answer the why question. Why does this matter? I'll tell you why it matters. Because somebody's going to come today who's given church one more chance. What are they going to experience from the moment they get out of their car and they come inside? How are we going to show them the love of Jesus? There's going to be a couple coming in today, and they just got a bad report at the doctor's office this week. And they're coming in, and they need hope, and they need love. And so why greeter? Because you are going to be the first stop to love them and remind them that Jesus loves them. That's compelling. That's what people, they'll get on board with that. And it's true with finances. You're not just looking at numbers, man. You're helping lead the way and helping us steward these resources for the glory of God, for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Are you kidding me?
And when you're talking about children in the nursery, why? Because we want two-year-olds to realize that the church, even at that young age, to connect with the idea that the church is a place where I'm loved,
yes,
and I'm cared for, and it's safe, and it's a good environment, and you have the chance to help do that, to help build in this child. I mean, the why is so a compelling why.
A compelling why.
And not just because we need it.
That's right.
But why do we need it, and what need will it fulfill? Number three, boy, when you're asking for volunteers— clarify the expectation.
Yeah, yes. Oh, boy.
What is exactly want?
Yeah.
And how many, if it's a committee, how many nights a week might this take? If it's teaching, what's preparatory time for teaching? What kind of lesson material will I have? If it's a greeter, what time do I need to be there?
Yep.
What do I need to wear? The more you clarify it, the more they're going to be comfortable with it.
Yep.
And the less you leave it foggy, the more they're going to be. Go ahead.
Three simple things with this. And you know what? You might be like, we're a small church. We don't really need it. No, you got to change the culture. Mm-hmm. Okay. So with volunteers, three things you need to do. Number one is take the time to write a brief job description of what that position will entail. What is it? Be clear on what it is, what it's going to involve. Number two, meet with the individual going over that job description with them. And as you're having coffee with them, you want to answer questions. You're also giving the why behind it and getting them excited, hopefully in clarity. The third thing is ongoingly, whether it's once a month or whatever, check in with them. Because sometimes volunteers, we do a great job of unleashing the volunteer. Mm-hmm. But what about the ongoing care when they're discouraged or whatever are we doing to keep that fire going? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's all about clarifying expectations so that we're on the same page. If you don't clarify expectations, here's what will happen. You'll get frustrated, they'll get frustrated, and other people will get frustrated.
And all these things we're talking about, if you lead with need and obligation, if you don't present a clear and compelling why, if you don't outline clear expectations, the people who do end up volunteering out of obligation are not going to be fulfilled. They're going to be frustrated.
Yep.
And you're going to create in your church that culture that pastor said, which is nobody here will volunteer. Well, because there's a culture of not volunteering.
That's right.
Because it's not a positive experience.
Yep.
Right? And again, that falls back on the leader. As much as that's hard to say, it is true.
It's just true.
And you can learn to do these things.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Here's the deal. If you do them with just one or two people and you have a success, that begins to breed a culture. You know, you've been in churches where there are a lot of volunteers because there's a culture of that.
Yep.
Then you go to some churches where it's almost like it's one culture or another.
Yeah, totally.
And in many ways, if you do have a church with a lot of volunteers, sometimes the culture is perhaps obligation, and you can sense that too. It's not a happy place.
Yeah.
Everybody's working out obligation. Some people have four and five jobs. By the way, you know, I think it's a good idea, even in a normative-sized church, to try to tell people you can have two roles here. I don't think you need to have more than two. Maybe three, but two.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a deacon, then you can also serve on the finance. If you're going to work in the preschool, then maybe you can also be on the fellowship team, but not more than two. We get some people
I like that.
Who,
that's
out
wise.
Of obligation, will fill any job because it's got to be filled. Well, then that leaves other people who won't do it, and then they're overtaxed. They don't do them all well.
Yep.
And I just think, I know some guys who
it's
say,
really
we got two. You pick, choose two.
I think it's great.
You know, and then it almost makes it look like it's important.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and if you don't fill them all, you don't fill them all.
Yep. Yep.
But I think that's better. Okay.
That's really good.
Number four, Mark, how would you word this one?
Yeah. So give them an out.
Mm-hmm.
The way I would word it is this. Have clear and easy on-ramps and off-ramps.
Yeah, if I don't like this.
Yep.
If you're asking me to be a greeter and I find out, you don't have to, they don't have to tell you, you can tell this. Look, try this.
Yes.
And I'm going to put you with Gary. He's one of our best greeters, you know. Or I'm going to put you with Mary in the preschool. She's one of our best teachers. Try it with her for a month. And look, if it's not where you fit, Well, that's fine.
Yeah, no worries.
No worries. You got to give them an out.
Yeah.
They'll be 10 times more likely to take it.
For sure.
If you give them an out.
For sure. And there's no guilt with it. I mean, that's the thing.
Right.
It's like, man, we're all just trying stuff here.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do. The other plus of having an on-ramp and off-ramp that's clear isn't just for them, but it's for you.
I know. They may not be a good greeter.
Because they may not be. And so one of the hardest things is how to fire, quote unquote, a volunteer, right?
You all know Tom Rayner. Yeah. I did a little podcast with Tom. He rode my coattails for a few years. And together, he and I wrote 41 books. He wrote 40. He wrote 40, and I wrote one. But together, we wrote 41. But, you know, Tom is introverted. I'm introverted. But, man, you know, Tom's introverted.
You're like an extrovert compared to Tom.
I've never met a more introverted person maybe than Tom. But we're both introverted. So when we would get together, we would never talk to each other except when we did the podcast. You know? So we were happy with that. We'd go to lunch during the podcast. He'd go to one restaurant, I'd go to another. So it worked out really well. Anyway, he was very introverted. So, but he's so funny. He said, you know, when I went to my son's church, they made me, of all things, a greeter. And I agreed. They put me at the front door. He said, about 3 weeks later, they moved me into the welcome center. And about 3 weeks later, they moved me to the sanctuary to pass that bull. They kept moving me further in because they realized I was not a good first impression or a good second impression. Maybe he could be the third impression. So, you know, it gives you a chance to say maybe this person isn't.
Yep.
I don't know who thought Tom would be a good greeter at the door.
Yeah.
I love the fact he said, they just moved me inside to the greet center. And then they moved me all the way to the sanctuary. Door.
What are they trying to say?
Next time they're going to put you on the exit door as people leave.
By the way, one of the ways that you can give them an out is to let them set the out.
Mm.
Instead of saying, okay, you need to do this for 4 weeks. Yeah. No. Let them say, how long do you think you need to do this?
That's a good idea.
So you can make a decision on this. We'll go with that, whatever you decide. Right. It gives them control.
Yeah.
So. Okay, and the last one on these five is make it personal. Mm. Not like, well, it doesn't matter who you are. I just need a warm body in there. Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of said that to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, I think this would be helpful to you. I've looked at you. I've been following you. We've had some conversations. I've heard. I just think knowing what I know about you, I think this would be good for you.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
Make it personal so they see that you have some investment in them rather than just, you know. And be careful about ever asking for volunteers from the pulpit. Because then you may get somebody, and you got to tell them no.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
That's the worst.
I mean, that is the absolute worst. Yeah. And you've got to then tell them no. So I don't think you need to do that at all. I don't think that's a healthy way to do it.
We had we were working on developing a prayer ministry in our class, and one of our team leaders got up and he said, "Okay, we need somebody to lead our prayer ministry."
Oh boy!
And the guy that volunteered for it, he was just wholesale Pentecostal, you know. And it was like, and I thought to myself, well, this is going to be fun to watch.
Here we go. Here we go.
Sure enough, it didn't quite work out.
Well, this is where, guys, I would say this, going back to, you know, if you're the pastor, you've got to be willing to sit down with people and ask them questions. What are you passionate about?
You've got to.
What
shepherd
do you love
them.
To do? Here are things I'm getting in. There's just no getting around the hard work, but the joy of personal shepherding.
Yep.
That's how you're going to get your best volunteers. That's how your church is going to be healthy, as people are using the way they're wired by God and using the gifts they have.
All right. Good job. Thank
are we
you guys.
Wrapping it up?
We're wrapping it up. We need some people to volunteer to subscribe to this podcast. So, and we're not talking to you about a need of obligation. This would be good for you. You would enjoy it.
Well, that's
and
one
if you don't like
it,
you can unsubscribe in a month.
But we want to be very clear about
that. That's
this.
Right. You push the subscribe button. Please
There's
do.
There's an easy on-ramp and off-ramp.
There you go.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. We want to make sure that his name is associated with this particular podcast. And we want to thank you for listening to us today. It's such a pleasure to have you join us. We really do consider you to be part of our family. We really do, and we can't wait till Christmas. And
which we get all the gifts that come in.
Yeah, they'll just be rolling in. Anyway, take time to subscribe if you would. And we want to give a big thank you to North American Mission Board for the work that they do in making this possible and helping us find locations and even subject matters to come up with for us to talk about. If you've got any any ideas, any suggestions on things that you'd like to see us cover, please send us an email. You can post it. Depending on which platform you use to listen to, you can leave us messages or feel free to call Mark Clifton directly at
home.
There
you go. That's right. Give me my number here.
Tell him what do you want us to talk about, and we'll be glad to do that. We'll see you next time. Thanks for spending time with us today.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.